Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, with Matty Owen Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. There you can find all the episodes on YouTube, find them on all the audio platforms, see all our written articles, and follow all the social media accounts. So get to commonfan.co and make sure you're subscribing on YouTube at the very least. All right. Sign up for the newsletter while you're on the website as well.
Damn right.
You can also go to silliesco.com to get your Common Fan socks, SILLIESCO.com. Get your Common Fan socks and that, and the promo code GBR for life, GBR number 4, LIFE, will get you 25% off any sock on the site. They have all kinds of fun stuff beyond the Common Fan socks. Obviously, you're going to get your Common Fan socks first, put them in the little cart, but then you can look around. You can look around, see what other colorful options they have. So get to silliesco.com and you can see all the fun socks they have there. Fellas, fall camp is upon us.
Yes.
We got a week of fall camp, a week of fall camp in the books. It's August. It's August. The Nebraska football team will play a game this very month.
This month. We've almost made it, guys. I mean, it feels like just a few days ago we were talking about, okay, we get through March, you know, we got March Madness and then the Masters, and like it feels like that was just a few days ago. Here we are.
We've done it. And was every one of those days easy?
Or no.
Did every one of those days go by quickly? No, it didn't.
No.
But we're here. We made it.
We made it, guys. We made it.
And hopefully the Common Fans helped you along in that journey with our summer series on Tom Osborne or some of the other episodes and articles we've been doing. Guys, there's a ton to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we wrapped up the TO series last week. Again, thanks to all for tuning in on that. That was a thoroughly enjoyable exercise. Check it out if you haven't already. You got plenty of time before the season starts to check out all the episodes in the Tom Osborne series. But since that time, they've had Big Ten media days. We had the Big Red preview practice last night. There's been various media availabilities from the coaches and players, et cetera. Things are churning. Things are in full movement, full motion. I don't know what the word is. Mm-hmm.
I like the hand bike movement that you were doing while you're saying that.
I've actually never even done a hand bike, I don't think, but that's what it's really, you know, we're moving.
Yeah.
We're moving, right? So we're gonna talk about a lot of stuff today. We're gonna talk about some of the observations and comments from last night. We're gonna talk about some of the storylines as we go into year three for Matt Rhule. I think, guys, I mean, it, you know, the horse is so dead on this, on the joke of Nebraska football winning the offseason, but it's true. And once again, we've reached this point, and I feel like optimism is just sky high among Husker Nation right now.
I mean, we got ambidextrous punters. We got all kinds of things going on.
It's ambipedalist.
I was going to say, what was that word again?
Ambipedal.
Excuse me. Ambidextrous would be with the hands. Yes.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Ambipedalist.
Ambidextrous.
Ambipedalist.
Ambipedalist. I don't know, but do you add the IST? I don't. I assume you do.
He's an ambipedal?
He's an ambipedal. But is he ambipedalist? That
doesn't sound right.
Ambipedal style punter.
Oh, no. for those who missed it, our punter can kick with both feet, which
that's impressive. We'll probably get into that.
Yeah. Yeah, which is incredible.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think if you look at, we talked about some of this stuff, year three for Matt Rhule, year two for Dylan Raiola, new coordinators, which is what we're really going to focus on today. The schedule lining up again, Nebraska football can't take anyone for granted in 2025, but the schedule, I think any Big Ten team would say, okay, we got a pretty good draw here with Nebraska football's schedule. So if it's going to happen, there are a lot of factors to believe why it is going to happen and why Nebraska football will turn a corner. One of the main ones we're going to focus on today, guys, is Nebraska has three new coordinators right now than they did at this point in the season last year. Okay.
Yeah.
And so we all know Tony White, defensive coordinator, went to Florida State. John Butler was elevated from defensive backs coach to be the defensive coordinator. Big John Butler fans, if you've seen some of his quotes and is talking about physicality and other things, very excited to see what John Butler can do with the defense. We're not going to focus on the John Butler trio. That's a band, by the way. I just learned this. There's a band called the John Butler Trio. Yeah.
What? Anyway,
we're not going to focus on the John Butler trio.
Would that be jazz at jazz?
No, they're rockish. Jazz. They're kind of rockish.
Rockish.
Yeah. Rock. Okay. The first song I heard of theirs, I was like, this is kind of folksy.
But, I was thinking more like a barbershop type style, not quite a quartet because it's three people.
No, the John Butler Trio is pretty, I mean, if you Google them, it's kind of like a rock band. Anyway,
okay.
We're going to talk about the other two coordinators today, Dana Holgorsen, Mike Eckler, because I honestly, guys, this staff seems really confident that the defense isn't going to take much of a step back and maybe no step back at all. We'll see. Obviously, they have a ton of turnover. They lost a ton of talent to both graduation and the transfer portal. New coordinator. That's a lot that's in flux. But, you know, Rhule's teams have always played good D. He flipped the defense immediately upon arrival. So let's just take that for granted for a minute that the D will at least not take much of a step back.
Yeah, how about that? The same.
Crazy, right? So in that scenario, if you see a jump in both offense and special teams play, how many wins is that worth? Two, three, four? With this, like with this schedule, three or four, maybe?
Yeah.
No, I'd say right? Three.
Could be.
Yeah, I bet you would say three, Jeff.
I would. I will.
You could say right now. Four. Here's what's really interesting, though. So we're going to come back. Put a pin in that. We're going to come back to Holgorsen and Eckler. There's two things from two different media members that I want to focus on right now, because if they are going to take that year three leap, it's going to have to involve winning close games.
Yes.
Okay? And Tom Schatzel had a really interesting article in the Omaha World Herald today, looking at Rhule's past, and kind of the general theme was looking at, he's had a year three leap at two other places. Why did that happen? But he kind of dug into the details, and he looked in particular at Rhule's Baylor team from 2019 that won 11 games and played for the Big 12 championship game. They lost to Oklahoma. I didn't have it in front of me. I'm sure that Oklahoma team ended up going to the playoff, but or was close. So they lost to a good Oklahoma team, but they won 11 games. But he looking under the hood at those wins, they needed a 38-yard field goal with 21 seconds to beat Iowa State. They beat West Virginia by three. They got a late field goal, and then they blocked. Oops, what are these? What are
those some balloons?
I don't like that. I stopped doing it.
Triggered something.
Yeah. Automatic balloons there in the background. Then they blocked a field goal to secure the win at the end. They beat Texas Tech by three in two overtimes. They beat TCU in three overtimes. What else? So he gives these different examples. Tons of close games.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Overtime wins.
Mm-hmm. Special teams.
Yes. Long field goals at the end, a block kick set up by penalties, two overtime wins. If a couple of those go the other way, Baylor isn't in the Big 12 championship game or the Sugar Bowl. Flip them all and BU is 7-7.
Okay. Yeah.
Hmm.
So a little bit of alternate history there from our friend Tom Schatzel, friend of the program. But the point is they won close games.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense made plays in the clutch, and they had successful special teams that executed when they needed. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, the other thing you could say for the Huskers is have a positive turnover margin and eliminate the penalties. I feel like they've made progress on those two fronts in rules 2 years, but those two have been major culprits as well in the close game thing. But we have talked about it so many times. If the offense and special teams had even been average the last 2 years, it's probably 2 to 3 wins more in each of those years.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a fascinating view from Mr. Chattel there.
Yeah,
totally. And that's the hump we've been trying to get over for how many seasons now is the close games thing. Right. So yeah. But here's the thing too, even if you don't flip all those, you flip half of them and you're a 9 wins.
Like, exactly.
So it's what we keep saying. If we can just be average in some of these things we've been so bad at, things could be so much better.
Yeah. We've been touting that on the show for months now because, you know, this season, like, we're not blowing the doors off every team that we play. We're guaranteed to be in a lot of close games this year. So that's exactly what we need. That's the remedy to our illness right now. Special teams and coming up clutch when you have to.
So on the same note, one other thing that's happened was this last week, the Big Ten Network crew, you know, they do their tour around the Big Ten during fall camp and they kind of do their reports from each team's set of practices, which, by the way, what are we doing wrong in life? And why, like, what a great job. What a great job that would be. No. And then you spend your Saturdays just going to college football games. I mean, obviously they're announcing and they're working, but we obviously missed the boat on something.
Yeah,
we did. But Jake Butt, former Michigan tight end, now Big Ten color analyst. By the way, that's kind of funny. His Twitter handle is at jbooty88. Anyway, it's good. I don't know. That's kind of funny. Whatever. Anyway, so Jake's
last name is Butt.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Exactly, Jeff. So Jake Butt had a series of tweets where he focuses on this very same issue. One more note. Let's see. So what has defined Nebraska football? One score, close games, winning or lack thereof in November. Small details. So how do you fix/change that? I'm not going to read the whole thing. If you're on Twitter, find Jake Butt at jbooty88. He went through a list of three of them and talked about, you're going to like this, Jeff. He said the O-line went through a great individual period. Mm-hmm. Great. He said group looks big, but lean, athletic. He mentioned Rocco Spindler saying he wants the group to be the win the Joe Moore Award for the best offensive line in the country. Coach blows the whistle, team jogs out onto the field without enough energy. He blows the whistle and sends them back, makes them do it again. Right. Yeah. Here's what Bud says. On the surface, this may seem silly, but it isn't. It's a mindset. You want to practice being those dudes. So when it's the fourth quarter in November, you can break the huddle with your shoulders high, calm but energized demeanor, and watch the opposing DL be the ones on their knees or having their hands on their hips. Ooh, right. Yeah. And he gave two other examples of basically seemingly small things where the coaching staff is insistent on things being done the right way. And I feel like we talked about this with Frost and how, again, I don't want to get everybody upset going back to that guy.
Calm down, TJ. Who are you talking about? I don't know who you're talking about.
But we talked about this with Frost, right? Where we gave him the benefit, or I did for the longest time. We gave him the benefit of the doubt and said, if we had just made one more play, if this player hadn't screwed up this, it would have flipped how many games, whatever. But ultimately, you can only come to the conclusion that it is a lack of attention to detail.
Yeah.
It's a lack of preparation.
Yes. I mean, the one thing that I thought was really fascinating about that was just the handing of the ball.
Did I lose you guys there?
You're back, TJ. You're back.
You froze for a minute.
For a second.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so it's a focus on details, and it feels like Rule and the staff are doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I was saying when you froze up there, TJ, was talking in that same article or that same post, talking about not tossing the ball to the official, but actually handing it to them because of just time on the clock. Like if the official drops the ball.
Well, right. Yes.
Defender knocks that down. Like just small things like that about clock management and getting the ball to the official in an efficient manner. It's stuff that I would never even think of. And it's beautiful. I love it. Yeah.
Matty, you have anything to add to that?
No, I mean, obviously I think that's all that stuff's great. And I think it has been something that's been lacking just doing all the little things right. Like that in the end, I think Jay Booty 88 is 100% right. Like that's going to pay off in the end when you prioritize all doing all those little things right. Like getting on the field in a timely manner, handing the ball to the ref. It's 100%. I'm with you guys. I'm with Jay Booty.
Jay Booty, listen, all the way.
Listen, I don't know if you're going to spend time on Twitter and go through Jay Booty's Twitter account, either he is a true believer in Coach Rule in Nebraska this year, or he knows how to toy with Nebraska fans' hearts.
Yes.
Because he said lots of things that he even posted a picture in response, like following up on that tweet about, you know, the offensive lineman shoulders high in the fourth quarter. He reposted a picture from the 95 Orange Bowl, 94 season, 95 Orange Bowl. That's very famous that we've all seen, of the Nebraska offensive line standing there while all the Miami guys are taking a knee during a timeout.
The boys.
But like Jake Butt may not, I don't know, how old was he when that game happened? Like, I mean, five? He, like, was he alive?
Is he even 30 years old yet?
Like, I don't know. I feel like he was just playing very recently. Yeah. So, you know, he knows exactly how to toy with Nebraska fans' heartstrings.
No,
exactly.
Well, definitely. He knows how to get some views and reactions on the social media posts.
Well,
red meat for Husker fans.
When he's using Fred, he's clearly trying to make Husker fans salivate, because, I mean, if you read that entire post, when you get down to the end, he's using reckless terms like playoff and things of that nature. What's this year?
That's not reckless, Jeff.
It's reckless.
Reckless and irresponsible. Under control, Booty. I'm all for it. We're all for Jay Booty. We're all for Jay Booty 88 on this podcast. Maybe he'd come on the podcast. We'll have to follow up with him on this.
Michigan.
All right. So again, I love the focus on details. That's super important. That's a component that feels like has been missing from Nebraska football for a long time. But let's face it, what else could help us widen? Was it widen or lower? Anyway, what else could help us improve the margin for error? What could help us give ourselves a little more breathing room? An explosive offense. Like, what if we had... It would, instead of a tie game in the fourth quarter or a 3-point lead in the fourth quarter or down by three in the fourth quarter, what if we had a 10-point lead?
Yeah.
Or a 14-point lead or a 17-point lead?
We haven't had many of those.
We haven't had a lot of
double-digit fourth quarter leads.
Like, what? Like, and there's so, we talked about this so many times. There's been so many times where it feels like the game was decided by a defensive meltdown, like the defense letting the offense score at the worst possible time. I feel like the Ohio State game from last year comes to mind, where we took the lead and then the defense gave up a score right after that. But the only reason it feels like that is because the margin for error is so small,
right?
That because the offense and special teams, you have to hold your breath every time the offense is on the field or every time we're kicking a field goal and it feels like something bad is going to happen. The margin for error is so small that if the defense gives up the occasional field goal or touchdown, it feels insurmountable.
Right.
If a team starts to build a lead. Right.
Right.
And so so that's why this episode in particular, we want to focus on Dana Holgorsen and Mike Eckler in particular. Holgorsen, of course, is the new offensive coordinator. He took over with three games to go in the regular season in 2024. Eckler came over from Tennessee in the offseason. I could not be like, guys, this is why, Jeff, people say playoff. I think this is why, when I lay in bed at night and I can't go to sleep and you're thinking about Nebraska football, obviously, I think to myself, I start to get big red corn cobs in my dreams.
Oh, wow.
Because that's okay. Right. That's right. Okay. Somewhere else dancing in my head, I don't know. I wanted to think of something Nebraska specific, you know? But Holgorsen's one of the best offensive minds in the game. Mm-hmm. Eckler had some of the best special teams units during his time at Tennessee. What I love about them both, we could cite the numbers. Other people have done that. What I love about both of them is the injection of swagger and energy, right? Mm-hmm. Holgorsen's just got some swagger. He knows who he is. He knows what he wants to do. And Eckler brings so much energy. We've talked about this before. My memory of him when he's on Pelini's staff is just bouncing up and down on the sidelines. Right. Yeah. But let's go back to Holgorsen for a minute. I want to read something. Sam McEwen had this. Holgorsen just talked to the media in the last few days. post-practice, post one of the practices. This is what Sam says, Sam from the World Herald. Holgorsen believes in a pared-down play sheet that relies on better execution of fewer scripted plays. Instead of trying to pick perfect plays for a given defense, Holgorsen wants Raiola adjusting to the defensive looks across from him. Quote, I keep giving him situation after situation within just a play, Holgorsen said. Not the situation in the game, but within the play where he's got to look and read defenses and get us into a better play if he can, which will make us better, more efficient. I love that so much where it's a football thing, I'm sure. And people who are a lot smarter than us have done it with great success. It never made sense to me to hear like guys like Riley or even I think Satterfield did it, script their first 15 plays.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I always
never made sense to me.
That was always absurd to me. Like that, what the hell are you thinking? Like there's, you're not going to, you're reading off a play sheet and that's all you're doing. Like that, how is that even coaching? Or like, I don't understand. I could do that. Right. Like I just got a sheet of plays. I'm going to tell you to run that out onto the field. Like that's ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I've never been a fan of scripting plays, period. Because what the defense is trying to trick you too. You think you know what they're going to come out in the first 15 plays of the game? Good luck. And then you're not going to be willing to adjust after five or six when they come out in totally different looks. And then you're just still going to stick. No, I think that's, yeah. I think it's great. And the thing that I like about Holger's comments, and he said something similar on the Big Ten roadshow or whatever they call it, the training camp preview thing about, and it made so much sense. About less plays, but like perfecting them. Okay. And we just got done with the Tom Osborne series. Like, guys, we did not run complicated stuff under Tom Osborne. They ran a few handfuls of plays, a ton. And then they were able to run different things off of those plays and make the defense. And then the other thing that Holgorsen said too was he kind of alluded to like, now we've got a few more dudes that when we run these simple plays, it's just about getting the right guys the ball in space, and then they turn into big plays, and they turn into those explosive plays. So I love all of that. Like, why do you have to have this massive playbook? And you can run all these different things. If you're not running any of them all that well, what's the damn point? Like, run 15 plays really, really well, and then you can run things off of those 15.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Well, sure. And I completely agree. And if you're running those over and over and over and over, which is exactly what T.O. used to do, and all of his 4 or 5 or 6 stations or however many had, everybody was just drilling those things over and over. You get really good at it. Mm-hmm. And then what I love about Holgorsen is they like, it's again, a small thing. They were specifically practicing in practice, dumping the ball off instead of taking the sack. Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It sounds silly, but like we've seen quarterbacks make catastrophic mistakes in recent years that cost us yards, cost us games, whatever it might be. The other thing I feel like happened, and again, we're not exactly X's and O's guys, but you would read about it after the fact, or coaches would talk about it after the fact, is like late in a game in a critical situation, big-brained offensive coordinators would dial up some play from deep in the playbook, right? That nobody had run, and you know, they may have ran it in practice 4 weeks ago or something.
Yeah.
And look, I get you got to have expectations, and these guys are major college football players and they're expected to execute or whatever. But let's be real, like that's not going to be a high percentage success rate.
No.
If you're pulling a play from way back in the playbook that you haven't worked on regularly, whatever. And we haven't had good enough players to just go make that play, or, you know, big enough difference makers. Let me say it that way.
Yeah.
So I just love the Holgorsen approach. And I think also it sounds like it's a good fit for Dylan Raiola in particular. It sounds like they work really well together. And I think it'll help him like really hone in on the system going into year two for him.
But what you said too, TJ, like the swagger that Holgorsen and Eckler too, different, but totally different types of swagger. Like Holgorsen is just so damn cool. Like he is. Interview he gives, like he's just sitting there and he like scratching his head and he just, you know, he's just kind of, he's kind of a good old boy, but kind of a gunslinger, you know, like he just has that vibe of like, this guy is sitting in the saloon, great poker player. Like that's the vibe that I get from Daniel Holgorsen. And I love every single minute of it.
Val Kilmer, like.
Yeah, a little Doc Holliday tune.
Doc Holliday action.
Yeah.
There we go. The one
thing... Johnny Ringo. You look like someone just walked over your grave.
Why, Johnny Ringo. Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, GF. Go ahead.
No, the one thing I gathered from a lot of that too is you say swagger, and I last season I was all about, and I still am, I'm all about Hollywood. I like big plays. I like stuff like that. It's great. It's entertaining. But they did have a good point, too, that they were wanting to focus on Dylan, not constantly holding onto the ball for too terribly long, trying to find, like, the big, deep play.
Yes.
And getting him better at, like, you know, it's not always a bad thing to check down to throw it to a running back for a short yardage play. It beats the hell out of taking a sack, right?
Yeah.
And then also, I'll trade the Hollywood for some of those good decisions. I'm just saying, I still like the Hollywood big play, but I do understand and I do respect the fact that they're trying to drill down and not, you know, make a stupid play trying to make a Hollywood type play. So
look at you getting wiser, Jeff.
I'm trying to grow
more experienced.
Well, listen, on that first point, I'll read a little more from Sam's article. He goes on to say offensive guard Rocco Spindler called Raiola the head of the snake. I love that, by the way. Who works with the line to get feedback on the defense and make adjustments to his pre-snap routine. And then Sam goes on to say, once the ball is snapped, Raiola is not to hold on to the ball looking for the perfect big pass play, as he did at times during NU's 2024 midseason losing streak. The goal now, get the ball out of his hands, understanding a routine check down to a back is better than a sack. And then Sam goes on in the article to talk about Raiola's offseason training regimen and how he's expected to also, when it's there, tuck the ball and run more this season.
Which I find shocking, like just judging by what we saw last year. It sounds like he's kind of, he might have slimmed down a little bit.
I think he's muscled up too, though. Like I think he's added some muscle. If you've seen him in practice, like his lower half looks pretty thick and muscly.
Yeah. I mean,
Matt,
that's something I'm supposed to say.
That's like,
I'm supposed to say, not you, me.
Great lower half.
Don't you guys clip that comment.
Great lower half.
Would that be though? Like just a dual threat quarterback that can just tuck and run the ball. If all else fails, like, woo-wee.
Yeah, I don't know how many design runs we'll have, but like, look, one of our biggest offensive plays last year was in that Ohio State game where Dylan just took off and ran and got like 50 yards,
right?
Yeah, just on a scramble. So he's got to be willing to do that a little bit more.
Well, I think he said
that gets the boys juiced up too. When your quarterback takes off, maybe takes a little knock at the end of a run and gets a first down, like that gets the ball club pumped up, boys.
For sure.
All right. So pivoting to now Mr. Eckler. And as bad as the offense has been, guys, I think it's safe to say the special teams has been worse.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty safe.
Like, and also like the offense is just sort of like impotent and non-productive, whereas the special teams just like continues to make mind-numbing, embarrassing, hard to fathom, like mistakes even that cost us games and are literally like our high school team didn't even do that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read a little blurb. It was from one of the Tunnel Talks recently, which is Husker Online's. They do like a Friday Tunnel Talk. This is, for subscribers, I think it's okay to quote because I think I've seen a couple people post it on Twitter, and I'm just going to quote a very small part of it. But those close to Nebraska's program rave about the impact Mike Eckler has had in a big picture sense. I've said previously that I expect the Huskers special teams to improve dramatically in 2025, but this conversation is more about the energy Eckler injects into the program daily. I mean, this job is almost do or die stuff for Eckler, and you just can't find that sort of mentality in everyone. Bottom line, Eckler genuinely believes he can be the best special teams coordinator in America, and there's no other school he wants to help more than Nebraska. Say no more. That was either Sipple or Callahan. I can't remember which one. But holy moly, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you talk about energy with him, Owens, I know you know. You know who Steve Ballmer is? He's got like that Steve Ballmer energy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
Like,
Windows launch party dance with him and Bill Gates,
like just high energy. Like you posted that picture, Owens, on Twitter X, I think, with his headset with like the blood dripping down his forehead.
He used to do that. Well, so I'm sure what happened to the story of that photo is he used to headbutt like players with like they'd have their helmet on and he'd like headbutt them to get them pumped up. And I think he did that at Tennessee and just opened up a little gash. And that's just the kind of guy that he is. But it's also interesting talking about Eckler, and then we'll get back to like the impact. But isn't it so interesting that I know he's from Nebraska, but the guy played at K-State. Like, it just seems like he's got such a reverence and a love for a place that's not even his alma mater, which I find absolutely fascinating. But good luck finding an assistant coach in college football that's got more energy and juice than Mike.
Steve Ballmer energy. That's a whole nother level of energy.
Yeah.
Jeff, I know who that is too.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I
thought you just followed specifically Husker football and Cubs baseball.
You know, you only asked Matt for some reason, but I know things about the world.
Okay. I was just making sure. Just, okay.
If I know that that's a professional wrestling reference. Okay.
R.I.P. Hulk Hogan.
Here's the other thing, guys. I love to hear the positive impact just on the psyche of the team. Again, I think like both of these, like Eckler is just like manic energy, just like we're going to go balls to the wall. We're going to play as hard as we possibly can. And I feel like with Holgorsen, it's a lot of swagger, a little bit of swashbuckler. And I think a little bit of like, hey, who cares? Like, who cares if it's snowing? Who cares if we got to play on a Friday night after a Saturday of traveling? Like, who cares? Let's go and win this thing. Like, that just like I feel like too much in the past, even from some head coaches, there were certain things that sounded like excuse making.
Excuses. Yeah.
Right. And I feel like Holgorsen in particular is just going to have this, like, just go and do your job. Right. Yeah. And I not to say that Rule hasn't had that, but I just think when you combine Rule's leadership with the energy and the swagger that both Eckler and Holgorsen bring, it's going to be powerful, guys. It's going to be powerful. One specific special teams note, Michael Sevier had a series of tweets after the Big Red Preview practice event. Really interesting. So there's Tristan Alvano, who battled injuries last year. He was kind of forced into duty in 2023, battled some injuries last year. There's, of course, Johnny Hole, who was very effective at times last year and then had some misses last year. But again, some of those were marked by bad snaps and other things that were really not his fault. So we're not sure like exactly how to assess that situation. And then there's this other guy. Kyle Cunanan. Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know. That's how I've been saying it.
He's listed as a sophomore. So he spent 2 years at Charlotte and then he spent the 2025 season at Cal and then transferred to Nebraska. This guy, I'm sure I read about it at the time, but he's kind of flown under the radar. Listed as a sophomore, curious where he's going to fit in, but here's Sevier's tweet. At place kicker, I'm cheering for Alvano, but Cunanan has ridiculously high ball flight, parentheses, booming leg. All three of the place kickers were perfect last night. Music to common fans' ears.
Yes.
From around 42, 43 yards. Hole seems back from his spring injury. And then he says, punter Archie Wilson could be a weapon pinning opponents. So just some like on the ground, you know, we weren't at the Big Red Preview practice, but just some on the ground feedback. I mean, just make field goals that you should make.
Yeah.
Yes.
We haven't even, I don't know. When was the last time we did that? Maybe 2016.
Been a minute. It's
Drew,
a minute.
Drew Brown,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Evan Bland had another note on Archie Wilson. We mentioned this at the top. Nebraska freshman Archie Wilson is an artist punting the ball, doing it with both feet. And then in parentheses, Evan says, you can use the term ambipedal at a party. And then he says he does it with distance and accuracy. This was a guy.
From the Bland stands. That one was from the Bland stands.
Straight from the Bland stands. This was a guy, I'm pretty sure I read this somewhere, or Rule commented on it or something. This was a guy that Eckler wanted at Tennessee when he got the Nebraska job. He still wanted him and went and got him and brought him to Nebraska. He's a true freshman from Australia, right? Yeah. Isn't he a true freshman?
There's an Australian kicking factory that I just found this out. There's an article about
you
him.
You just found this out?
Well, but the Australian kicking factory, like the guy there said in this article I read that, and I should be a better journalist and quote the article in the article.
We're not journalists.
It's a guy out of the Hastings Tribune. Go look it up. Anyway, you call this Australian kicking factory and it goes, what do you need? And he's like, well, I need a rugby style. Okay, I got one for you. And then it's like, what do you need? Well, I need a field goal kicker that specializes in longer field goals. Okay, I got one for you. Like that, they like literally, it's like made to order these schools. And there's like five or six guys they put in the NFL. This Australian like kicking factory. That's incredible.
Didn't Riley bring in an Australian punter or that everyone was excited about and it didn't work or something? Like, yeah. Like, I think so. Because of course.
We'll blame Bruce Reed for that one.
Yes.
Sadu Bruce Reed. Oh, yeah. Made $450,000 to basically not do much at all.
Sam McEwen would always comment. Like, I think he'd do his laundry at the football facility. And then he would, like just leave in the middle of practice, like after he had worked with the specialist with his clean laundry.
Slings it over his shoulder. Well, yeah, see you guys later. I guess
it was fun.
We did our half hour today. Field goals and punting. And
nice
I
kick. All right, guys, I'm going to head out of here.
I am beat, guys.
I got to get this folded, otherwise it's going to wrinkle.
Oh my gosh. Anything else you guys saw out of that practice? Did I hear they were selling beer?
Under the impression that this was the first event that beer would be sold at and for Husker Football Memorial Stadium. So if the common fans have any input on that, shoot us an email, commonfangbr@gmail.com, or hit us up on Twitter. Let us know how the beer sales went.
Were you there? What did you think? I'd be curious too. I saw a couple things on Twitter, and again, I didn't put it together that this might have been actually happening last night. I thought it may have been teeing it up for the season, but I saw something on Twitter. I think it was Sean Callahan posted it. You could get two hot dogs and a Michelob Ultra for $19. If you wanted to just get those two with a pop, it was like $11. And then same thing with the Runza. You get a Runza and a beer for $19, Runza and a pop for $11. Everything is so out of whack, guys. With prices going through the roof. I don't even know what's real anymore. But my first thought when I saw those was like, that doesn't seem that bad.
Terrible.
Beer and a Runza for $19.
I'd pay that for the hot dogs for sure. The Runza, they need to be handing those freaking things out for free. I'll tell you.
Oh, get out of here.
Here we go again.
Slander. Put them back.
Here we go again. Jeff.
How do we? I can't remember how to do it. There we go.
Common fan GBR. Oh, they're backstage, Jeff. Backstage. Adios, amigo.
Is he done?
Any price for a Runza.
He was still going.
Matteo sent him backstage again.
Okay, hot dogs. Yum. I love them. They're delicious.
That does seem like a better deal, Jeff. Two hot dogs and a beer for 19 versus one Runza and a beer for 19. But I do love Runzas. Mm.
Hey, we got an email too. We should always remember to start off with this at the beginning of our episodes, which we never do. But we, especially throughout the TO series with some of our episodes and articles, we got a number of emails from many of you common fans, and it's always just delightful to hear from you. It's commonfangbr@gmail.com. Don't ever hesitate to send us an email. We love hearing from you guys. Love hearing that there are people beyond just our spouses and our high school buddies who actually listen to this thing and and enjoy the episodes. So always love the feedback, good, bad, or ugly. It's usually pretty positive, I might add. So send your emails. We love hearing from you. I would also shout out, I never know if people want their name shared, so I'm not going to share a name here, but a common fan sent an email during the TO series about Tommy Frazier, said he grew up in Greeley, Nebraska. His first memory, first memory of hearing his name was over the radio in a tractor while moving hay bales. You could tell by listening on the radio, something had changed. Like, how much do you love that?
I get goosebumps when I hear that stuff.
Guys in a tractor moving hay bales, listening about how Tommy Frazier just went in the game. He said his recollection was that it was his first start, but he couldn't remember for sure. So
yeah,
pretty dang cool.
Yeah. That's Nebraska right there, baby.
Yeah,
in a nutshell. Exactly right.
He also says he's currently living west of Des Moines in Iowa. He says, I'm not popular here when the football topic comes up, but I fly the colors every game day, and my wardrobe gets very red when the football season starts. Let's go.
Love that.
Way to represent.
Hell yeah.
This guy's Dan. That's his first name. Again, we never know exactly.
Dan from Greeley.
Dan
originally
Dan from Greeley.
Thanks now for West reaching out, Dan.
Yeah. Great to hear.
Good looking out, Dan.
But we love hearing from all of you, whether you're engaging with us on Twitter or commonfangbr@gmail. Continue to engage and tell your friends too.
I think that's the Bohemian Alps up there. I've heard people from that region. Maybe Bohemian Alps. I don't remember.
I have no idea.
I have family from near. They played a lot of
in Des Moines
sports against Greeley. No, guys from Greeley, Nebraska. Jeff, tune in, bro.
I thought you were talking about Dan in Des Moines still.
Well, no, Dan from originally from Greeley. Yeah. Now lives in Des Moines.
Now in Des Moines.
Were you listening?
I was. Ankeny is a very lovely part of Des Moines, if you guys aren't aware. Lovely area up there.
Started
Ankeny. It's beautiful.
Jeff, what planet are you on?
I'm just telling you. Dan lives in a good area now. Lovely area.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. All right. Anything else?
We need to be glazing Iowa too much. We don't need to give them too much credit here.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. All right. We fully pivoted to fall camp. We're going to have a number of episodes, more than one per week. A little bit of a preview there, a little bit of foreshadowing, more than one per week leading up to the season. We got some super exciting guests lined up. We're not going to tease those quite yet because we're waiting for confirmation, but I think it's going to work out. On a number of episodes leading into the season. It's going to be here before we know it, guys. Going to be here
so excited.
Yeah.
When's the last time you were this excited for Husker season? Maybe Frost first or second year?
Yeah, last year.
Last year.
every year.
Yeah.
Every year. I think we're going to win the national championship every year.
Every year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. No, sorry. What were you
more,
guys?
It just seems more real. The excitement seems more real. It feels more real this year.
It feels
maybe,
more,
and yeah. maybe like Dana and Coach Dana and Coach Mike are, I think, a big part of that, at least for me.
It feels more like realistic.
Yeah.
Right. And valid.
Years past, we were talking ourselves into thinking like this year, I think we were actually getting provided documentation that things might actually turn a corner. So,
yeah,
exactly. We know what good looks like. You know, we're Husker fans. We've been to the mountaintop. We know what it looks like on the field more than just on paper. You see the guys on the field practicing. We know what success looks like.
Yep. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. All right, boys. Well, again, go to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Make sure you're subscribing on YouTube. Please follow us on Twitter and the other social media accounts, and get your Common Fan socks at silliesco.com. All the things. We're going to be back at you soon, Common Fans. Like I said, we got a handful of really exciting guests and episodes leading up to the season. And it's going to be game week. It's going to be game week before we know it. Hold on. 3 weeks. This episode's coming out on Monday, August 4th. It's three weeks from game week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. That's insane.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Wow. All right, Common Fans. Thanks for hanging with us. We'll be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.